I'm Sam Wood, and you're listening to the Ravens Weekly.
Being a supporter of any football team, you could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 24 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at Crown Ash Developments. As ever, a big thank you to them for all their continued support. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello everyone.
And Cookie.
Hello everyone.
We've got another packed episode this week, so guys, what have we got coming up?
So, coming up on tonight's show, we have got the review of the Eastleigh game, which is obviously our most recent match.
We caught up with, we've got an update, sorry, on Adam Mecky.
We caught up with Neil Smith after the game as well.
We discuss a player that's gone out on loan.
We do indeed.
And again.
We chat about something off the field at the Eastleigh game as well.
We discuss, football with Mark Anthony Okoye.
We do discuss football with Mark Anthony Okoye. We're going to address a recent picture that surfaced on the internet of Chairman Jeremy Dalkey.
We catch up with Sam Wood as well.
We're going to look ahead to the busy and much-travelled month of February.
And we've got a question that's on everyone's lips.
No spoilers, please.
It's not that imaginative, is it, that question? it's just going to be what you do when you're Saturdays without any football. Jackie. What gives it away? Is it the laptop? Is it the two microphones? What gives it away that we might be recording a podcast? Honestly, we need like one of those on-air red flashy light buttons. Yeah. Anyway, what do you want, Jack? That's brilliant. She's just run out of the office and it bumped into someone else. Oh, dear. Anyway, where were we? The Eastleigh game. The Eastleigh game.
Eastleigh, yeah, that's
sorry.
It.
Matt, another fantastic crowd, all things considered. Eastleigh brought all of, 61?
Yeah.
61 people. I mean, fair play to those who made the journey from Eastleigh. I think Eastleigh's website reported the crowd as 404 away fans, but generally, fair play to those who made the journey. And to be fair, they're all well behaved, as far as we're aware.
Really good.
Matt, obviously, again, a decent crowd, helped by Highfield School and the other activities that were going on. But the game itself, I don't really know how to describe.
Yeah, it wasn't the best entertainment-wise, unfortunately. A bit of a 0-0 game, a classic draw, a no-score bore, as they call it. We had a few shots, and all of them were blocked. I don't think we tested the goalkeeper enough.
Better in the second half, though, wasn't it?
It was much better in the second half. Yeah, we played really well second half, but unfortunately, obviously, didn't get that decisive goal, did we? And obviously, Eastleigh getting the winner right at the end is a bit heartbreaking.
It was, unfortunately, yeah, didn't deserve to lose, but I think this was a classic. This was 10th v 11th. We was as good as each other and they just took their chance, really. But obviously nothing helped with the first-class injury of Adam Mecky. But Matt, you managed to catch up with Neil Smith and here's what he had to say.
Neil, perhaps feel slightly hard done by. It was a bit of a 0-0 game in truth perhaps.
Yeah, I thought we had some great patterns of play. About dominating, but I thought, you know, some of the possession football was really, really good. Obviously, what happened with Mecky sort of took stuffing out of us at half time, but you know, we've got to show resilience and do it for him. But just really disappointed, you know, to come away with a loss. I think last week we were disappointed we only drew. It's the other way around today, so got to regroup, don't play for a couple of weeks, and you know, try and get going for the next game.
I know you touched on Adam Mecky. Is there any news on his condition yet?
At the moment, no. It's only, we think it might be and stuff like that. So until we actually know what it is, we won't put it out there. But it's a nasty injury nonetheless. And for a player that's just come back and looking to it, a bit of form, obviously scoring last week. So, you know, the changing room is really down for two reasons. You know, losing a teammate and a player like that. And it will be for some time, no matter what it is, and obviously losing the game. So we've had a double blow today.
And obviously the manner in which the goal came, possibly a bit disappointed, and as well, both teams seem to be cancelling each other out.
Yeah, you know, they're sitting above us. So, that you know, obviously he's good friends with Hare, so they knew something about us. Josh Hare, being his dad's obviously a coach at Dover as well. So they'd done their homework. They were trying to cancel us out. I thought we actually played some really good stuff, got down the side of them without any real end product. Didn't test the keeper enough, in my opinion. But I thought we were shading it, if I've got to be brutally honest. And, you know, even with a draw, I'd have been disappointed with some of the football that we played. But isn't to be. We walk on, we go on, and obviously get ourselves ready and for the next game.
And that next game is Barrow away, but obviously that's in 2 weeks, so a week off next week.
Yeah, they'll be working. They'll be working, the boys. They won't have any breaks. We've got a lot to work on, as you can see. Both ends, I thought Jake Goodman come on and did a fantastic game after being out for Mark Anthony. And, you know, I can't criticise any of the players. That's my problem. So, yeah, we've got a lot to work on going into Barrow, but, you know, we'll get today's game out of the way very early this week and crack on and make sure that we're up for the next one.
Neil, thank you.
Thank you.
Always good to hear from manager Neil Smith there. Obviously, as Neil refers to, the devastating news with regards to obviously Adameke followed that game. Obviously, the challenge during the game and obviously the aftermath, Cookie. Not something you want to see on the football pitch.
No, definitely, especially a couple of weeks after the foul player went down with the fracture to his wrist. But to have this to one of your own players, you go on and sort of like just after Sean the physio, so we've got certain hand signals to signal that people need to come on, and what people he raised straight away for the doctor and the physio, and then it turned doctor and the paramedics, and then turned out to be more serious. We required the stretcher, gone over there. I must say, for what the injury turned out to be, Adameke was unbelievable. He was so calm. He wasn't screaming, he wasn't shouting. He knew he had injured himself, he knew it was bad, but so calm when he stretched him off. And the ambulance as well to the NHS, to the doctors.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, in the past, I hate to say, unfortunately, you've experienced, even in the last decade I've been here, whenever you ring up an ambulance and you mention football or something like that, I hate to say it, but naturally, and it has often been the case. I remember we had a reserve team game here years and years ago in freezing cold. I mean, I had a player who broke his leg on the pitch, phoned through to the ambulance and that. And it was an hour, 2 hours. Yeah. Whether it's because it's not non-life threatening or whatever it was.
Yeah, they categorise.
But like you said, on that game, the ambulance.
Yeah.
I don't know, what was it, half an hour?
This was categorised as
already there.
As a priority, yeah. So speaking to him. But again, I just wanted to say, sort of like being on the pitch, but Adameke was unbelievable, how calm he was, how good Sean the physio was.
No, a big shout out to obviously the physio, paramedics, stewards, everyone in the day for obviously responding as swiftly as they did. Obviously, Matt, you've got, I think obviously that weekend, I mean, it all happened quite quickly, really, following it. And obviously, I know Mickey put out a post at the weekend. Matt, I think you got that.
Yeah, I did. So unfortunately, obviously, after the injury, spending the night in hospital and having surgery, he tweeted out, "I'm devastated to find out I've dislocated my ankle and broken my fibula. Thank you for all the messages of support."
I mean, two separate surgery. Two separate things. That's
awful. Up, yeah.
Everyone's going, "Oh, broken leg." You know,
double whammy, wasn't it?
But that's
absolutely awful. But he did say on the positive side, surgery was a success, so the road to recovery starts now. We know he's a very determined player. He's had injuries before, and he's come back stronger from them. And unfortunately,
it's just amazing. We featured him the week before on the podcast.
I know, and how well he was playing.
Talk about what a roller coaster it's already been of a season and everything like that. You just can't write it sometimes.
And what a nice bloke as well. And it's just really unfortunate that, like I say, after he's got back into the team, working hard to recover from his original injury back in pre-season, that this should happen. Really, really gutting for him, but we know, like I say, that he's got a great attitude and that he'll come back stronger from this.
No, everyone here at Football Club obviously wishes him all the very best of luck in his recovery. Obviously, the Easter game itself, both before, during and after, was an eventful day, and I don't know if anybody's had a chance to watch it, but there was a behind the scenes video on the website inside the club, which Ross Grant, UCFB student who's on placement from UCFB, produces the behind the scenes video for us. I thought it was amazing insight into the day and what happens and everything like that. And I'm jumping here because I know we've got an interview coming up with Mark Anthony later, but one thing I must touch on, and you see it in the video, Matt, and this is probably your fit for you to come in, but obviously it was Highfield School visited that day as well. And one of their things was a sort of Q&A with player before the game, etc. Obviously Mark Anthony, I think it was this week. And from the video, you see it, you know, it's in the play zone. The kids are sitting on the stage looking up at this player. And don't be wrong, I'm six or something. I think I look up at Mark Anthony, you know. But it was really quite powerful. And when you talk about players now, they interact with everybody. Obviously, Mark Anthony seemed to come across incredibly well.
He's absolutely fantastic, and in a very selfish way, it was kind of lucky that we were able to have him on that day. Obviously, not having his talents on the pitch, we were able to bring him in to do what was a fantastic talk to the children, and the parents as well were really appreciative of it. This is our second of our brand new School of the Day initiative. The first one we did with Riverside back in October. This is our first mainstream school, and we had just under 200 parents and children turn up. And I think when Mark Anthony walked in, I think he alludes in his interview just how surprised he was about how many people were packed out in that play zone. It was an absolutely incredible thing to be a part of.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was him or Ronan the Raven, the mascot, who got a bigger reception, though, if I'm honest. I mean, they were just as fascinated to see the bird.
I think the mascot tripped over enough times, so we had to shuffle him through, and you can hear me on the camera quite clearly.
I'm so sorry, we were jumping. I know we got to catch up with Sam Wood, we caught up with Sam Wood after the game, EC, etc. But we did have a very good interview with Mark Anthony, which is probably worth us cutting to now.
Of course. Mark Anthony, obviously you didn't play yourself on Saturday due to an injury, but you played a very important part behind the scenes as we welcomed Highfield School, and you stood in front of the whole group of kids and parents like a natural. How did you feel?
It was amazing to be on the other side of things. I remember being that young and, you know, players just being able to communicate with players and, you know, being touching distance was very inspiring. So it was real humbling to be on the other side, you know, and kids looking up to me and asking me some questions.
And talking to those questions, they really did grill you, didn't they, with all those questions?
Yeah, a couple of them put me on the spot a little bit, but yeah, they were a good bunch of kids, and as I said, it's very humbling.
And we looked at the figures after the game, just under 200 kids and adults from Highfield School. What does that mean to us as a club, as a team? It's massively important, isn't it?
I said it before about the energy at the football club, and I think that just goes to show you what's going on here. Massive developments on and off the pitch, but in terms of off the pitch, it's a community club, and everybody from fans, kids, and all the other outside football things that are going on the back pitches, and bringing different age groups and different genders as well, the ladies teams, is massive for the club, and it's really got a family feel here.
It's one of the first times we've done something like that. When you walked into the play zone, obviously everyone had gathered in there. Did you expect that many people?
To be honest, no, I didn't. You told me, of course, that, you know, there's a few kids I need to speak to, and yeah, I walked into
it was a bit
overwhelming, yeah, yeah. But it was great to see. It was good to see.
And it was great to have your talents off the pitch, but we'd like them back on the pitch soon, if possible. Obviously, you missed out through injury, and how are you feeling now? Have you recovered from that?
Yeah, so today was the first day since the Dover game that I've gone out on the pitches and done a bit of running and some movement stuff with Sean, the physio. And yeah, I'll be back in full training on Monday.
And obviously, a bit frustrating, no game this week, but obviously gives you a chance to rest up that a little bit more. And I know a lot of the boys are going to come and train as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, with the run that we had, obviously the past two games haven't gone our way, but that hasn't put too much of a chink in our armour. We're still very confident in what we're doing. You know, if games weren't called off, you can say it's just an opportunity to keep the momentum going. But as you said, it's another week's rest. We just gear up and we go again. And some boys will be in tomorrow, myself included. And yeah, keep ourselves ticking over.
Mark, look forward to the next game, and thank you.
Thank you.
Big thank you to Mark, as always, for his time there, both for the interview and obviously on the day with a Highfield score, which was obviously sounds like a fantastic day for all of those involved.
Shows how good he is, doesn't it? I mean, the bloke's just an absolute, like, he's a lovely bloke. I said it before, I'll say it again, he's unbelievable. What a lovely, lovely bloke. And I think pretty much one of the best signings this season as well.
on and off the pitch, an absolute class act. And I think we've seen that in what he's done playing for us in recent weeks, and then obviously helping us out with this. And it was a really, really fantastic, successful initiative that we ran on that day. Like I say, just under 200 people coming along, you know, maybe for the first time, a lot of them, and a few of them in Bromley shirts. It was phenomenal to see. And if you haven't seen the video, you really, really must see it. So thank you to everyone. Thank you to Highfield School for helping us organise it as well. We look forward to welcoming more schools in the future. And what I will say is they came back to us saying there's definitely some new Bromley fans there, and they've also asked for a signed shirt which they want to frame and display in their school reception. How amazing is that?
No, it's fantastic. It's genuinely what it's all about. We talk about power of football outside of these four walls, you know, this stadium, as it were, and what could be done. It's absolutely incredible.
Say little old Bromley Football Club, it's not little anymore, is it? It's getting it's getting big.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, we did refer to it briefly before I decided to change tack. Sam Wood, we managed to caught up with Sam. Sorry, Matt, you managed to catch up with Sam Wood during the week following the Eastleigh game. I think he had a few things about Eastleigh game, and like you said, how the team are going to have to respond now from the setback of Saturday. And I think here's the interview in full.
Sam, it's been a fantastic January and last part of December for us. Unfortunately, our first defeat since Boxing Day on Saturday. How's everyone reacted to it?
Yeah, obviously it was a bit gutting to lose the game. I thought for most of the game against Eastleigh, we was on top. We just didn't take our chances. And obviously, as football goes, they create a chance at the end and manage to score, which is very disappointing. But like you say, we've been on a good run. The heads weren't too low because obviously the run we've had. Obviously, we try and win every game, but obviously in football that doesn't happen. So we're going to pick ourselves up. And obviously, unfortunately, we've got the weekend off this weekend, so we can't put things right. But we just keep preparing for the next game.
So everyone's very determined next week. Obviously, a way to Barrow aside around us to put that result right.
Yeah, of course, we're working hard all week, well, in the 2 weeks that we've got, to obviously put things right and get back to winning ways in the league and try and get the 3 points against Barrow.
And obviously, like we alluded to earlier, we've been on a fantastic run recently, especially latter part of December and January as well. It's taken a lot of character, I guess, and obviously the new players have played an impact in that as well.
Well, yeah, obviously we wasn't doing so well at the start, and obviously we had a few new signings come in. I think they come in against the result at Gateshead, which we lost, but obviously they've had time to gel in, and it's worked well, obviously, and you can tell by the results. And yeah, now we're all together collectively, and we're all working hard, and like, obviously you can't beat a winning feeling, so we just want to keep winning and keep that feeling and keep the buzz around the place.
And obviously some very consistent performances from you recently. How's it feel to be back here after a few months settling in?
Yeah, no, obviously feeling good. Obviously when I first come in I wasn't match fit, and obviously it took a little while, obviously getting used to the pitch, the Astra pitch as well. So yeah, no, I'm buzzing now, and obviously working hard and feeling fitter, and obviously I'm a little bit older now, but I feel as fit as I've ever been. Obviously with the gaffer, the way he's training is, and obviously we've doing extra training, and I'm feeling good. So, and obviously hopefully it shows on the pitch that you can see that, and yeah, no, I'm just happy to be back.
Just looking ahead to this month, lots of long away trips and only one home game for us.
Yeah, no, that's obviously whoever done the fixtures needs a little talking to, but no, obviously it's part and parcel of football. But as long as we get a few results on the road and win our home games, I think we'll be right up there.
Sam, thank you.
No problem, thank you.
Always good to hear from Sam there. Obviously, despite the result, obviously, clearly everyone's focused to make sure it doesn't get the camp two down ahead of, following what's been a fantastic run.
Yeah, been on a very good run, haven't we? Obviously, since mid-December, you know, the tide's just turned a little bit. We went on a fantastic unbeaten run, and that was our first defeat in a month. So we've gone from Boxing Day to the 26th of January without losing. And it was always going to happen at one point, and the game warranted a draw, I think. If anything, possibly us to win it in that second half. So hopefully, yeah, like Sam says, no one's too down about it, just focused on getting back to it against Barrow.
Obviously, you talk about this month. Obviously, look to the next month, as Sam refers to there. February, not the kindest of months in regards to the fixture list. Obviously also changed really or hindered by whose progress? Harrogate's? Harrogate's progress, obviously, meaning that fixture's been rearranged. When's it been rearranged for, Matt?
The 5th of March. 5th of March.
5th of March. Obviously, first up's going to be Barrow next week. Obviously, another long journey. Cookie,
Yeah, just the three games in February now. So we've got Barrow on the 9th. We've got on the 16th, we're at home to Maidstone, local rivals. Going to be a big game. Always is. We always get a good crowd, and Maidstone obviously looking to get one up on our rivals there. And then on the 23rd of February, we go to Hartlepool. So that's two.
I wouldn't really call them rivals, but...
That's two.
I know they're in Kent and stuff, but...
The two massive away games.
In the month, yeah, we talk about features as well. And obviously, there's been the addition of the Kent Reliance Senior Cup draw that was made the other day, Matt.
It was indeed, yes. So we have been drawn away to Tunbridge Angels in the semi-finals of the Kent Reliance Senior Cup. We're currently in discussions with Tunbridge over a date for the fixture.
That's we'll a song, isn't it? They've got the old song as they come
Where Angels Fly, isn't it?
Angels Fly, is that what it is?
I think it is.
Been conference there a few years ago.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
The game before they went down...
Ryman, yes.
We played them in, and what was it, a 2-2 draw,
I think it was. And my best memory of playing them was when we beat them 5-1 here, and Bradley Goldberg got a couple of brilliant goals.
Yeah.
What a fantastic day that was.
Tell you what, go rewind back, was the FA Cup. I think it was Ryan Hall and Donald O'Sullivan. Yeah. Ryan Hall with a half volley. It was a Luke Hansen, was it? Long throw, heading out to the edge of the box. Ryan Hall just met it, sort of half volley into the back of the net. Fantastic, brilliant scenes behind the goal.
06-07 season, wasn't it?
No, I think it was a bit later than that.
It was, yeah.
I think it was later than that. But and also, that was a game where the referee got injured, like 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes in, and he ended up. Lino went to the referee. And I think we had another Lino. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I do remember that. I think we won 2-1 in the end. But yeah, FA Cup fourth qualifying round. Mm. I don't know who did we get in the first round. Oh, I don't know.
No, obviously they beat Ebbsfleet to get to this stage, didn't they? And it was a mixed Ebbsfleet side. It did have some academy players in, but also some very strong players from Ebbsfleet in there as well. So,
and
like
who's in the other semi-final?
It's Gillingham and Maidstone.
Yeah.
That'd be at Maidstone, wouldn't it? Because Football League, they don't play.
Yeah.
Big Tom.
We've got a good opportunity, though, to get to the final, but take nothing away from Tunbridge. They're on a good run in the it's now the Bostic League,
Is Barry Moore still there?
Who?
Barrymore.
Michael Barrymore.
Who?
Well, I'm joking.
Barrymore?
I said Barrymore.
I don't know, actually.
I don't know. Was Steve McKinn? Steve McKinn's not there anymore, is he?
He is, yeah.
Oh, he must be there. He must be still be there.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Oh, I don't know. I should have done a research for this. Right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, like you said, interest for everybody, but that game will still be arranged. Likely to be March, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be March. I think
they've offered us 2 dates so far.
Neither of which we can play.
We've already got Fishers, so that was nice of them. But yeah, hopefully we'll get that arranged.
We've got 7 fixtures in March so far, so that's busy.
Jeez.
It is going to be a busy one in contrast to.
And then what, five in April? Well. Yeah, 5 and 8.
So you're suggesting we should have it in April?
February.
Right, so just diverting back, if I can, to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. Obviously, the next game is Barrow away. We've got their form guide up here. And their last 5 games, 3 of their last 5 games have been 0-0 draws. They got a 3-2 win against Salford and then lost 2-0 to Havant at Waterlooville. So a bit of an up and down side.
They're having it down there, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Good memories from their last season. I think it was you and I on the commentary, wasn't it?
It was, and that was the we got up there. It started snowing, didn't it?
And raining a lot.
And raining a lot and snowing. And they one area of the pitch they were trying to call, should it be on, should it be off?
With leaf blowers, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. They had leaf blowers trying to clear the rain off the pitch.
They got the game on with leaf blowers. I mean, come on.
I'd say the hospitality out there is fantastic with the guys that looked after us. Yeah, unbelievable.
And we were in a little box, weren't we? It was a bit of a funny
press box. Is right. They've got this. Yeah. You're inside partially, aren't you?
Oh yeah, we were covered from the elements. Yeah, we were absolutely fine. It was just a bit of a strange sort of sound wise.
Everyone's
to be
next to you. You can't say anything because you're basically in the home. But you're in a home thing. It's
so their wireless internet's not good. The 4G signal's not good.
No,
so.
You can't. It's terrible. When I went the year before, that was when Blair Turgot scored the equaliser for one of the last kicks of the game.
Bizarre goal, yeah.
Goalkeeper kicked it out straight to him or something. He scored from there. We went absolutely mental. James, I think it was James Tanner that day. He had Virgin. I mean, he has Virgin Mobile, I don't know. But anyway, he had Virgin Mobile, and he couldn't get. I was on O2, I couldn't get a signal.
No.
The 4G box didn't work, the Wi-Fi didn't work, none of it.
I had my phone up against the press box just trying.
Saying that, referring back to Havant, have we got a player update, haven't we, Matt?
We do indeed, yeah. So speaking of Havant, as you mentioned, one of our players has gone on loan there, and that is Joe Quigley.
Smooth link in there.
Obviously, just returned from quite a successful loan spell at Eastbourne Borough.
I don't know what he's keeping, didn't he?
Yeah, they did. Yes. He got two on his debut, and then he got another couple after that. So yeah, very informed for Eastbourne, and they'll be disappointed to have lost him. But obviously, Haven gives him the opportunity to play at this level, and also quite close to where he lives as well. So all good for him, and we wish him the best of luck.
Fantastic. Best of luck to Joe there. I'm running through the list of things that we were supposed to talk about, and I've got Jerry Photo.
Yeah, so I think it was Colin Head.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this. Yeah,
Colin Head has given us this golden picture of Jerry from
golden because it's in colour.
It is in colour, and I've never seen one of it,
Jerry
of him in colour.
Black and white, didn't he? So.
Black and white, brown and white. There's a brown and white. There's some Beckenham advertisers or something. I think it's a brown and white cuttings. But I must admit he was pretty chuffed with it. I'm sure, no doubt Jerry's probably sent Colin a thank you message for tweeting him with the image and everything. But he was pretty chuffed when he saw it. And like I said, I was quite fascinated by it because it's one of the only photos I think I've seen him in colour. Yeah. And I think there's another player in the background that Jerry's still trying to work out who it is.
Yeah, we couldn't tell.
No doubt, maybe Colin will know or someone else watching will know. He's on Twitter. Jerry's probably retweeted, isn't he?
Yeah,
Jerry Dolkey.
Yes.
Yeah, over on the old Twitter.
I think he looked like he was coming off the pitch, so whether it was a substitution or a red card.
Early bath,
that's it.
Oh, that must have meant he started to go.
Well, he looked quite happy, so he looked quite happy. He must have done something good. He looked very happy with himself, so.
He probably set up a goal.
Right, so we've obviously reviewed January, we've previewed February, as it were. Well, not really. We just went to Barrow. Obviously, after that, we've got Maidstone. And then after Maidstone, we are away at Hartlepool.
Another long trip.
Hartlepool. That's going to be awkward on the trains, I guess.
Racking up the miles, isn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely, it's going to be difficult. But
Talking about racking up the miles, obviously going around the leagues, around the league, as it were. Dover on Saturday. So I spoke with Frank, their secretary, earlier in the week about this whole fine issue and the fact we got fined and they got fined, etc. Actually, do we mention that?
Yes, we did.
Was that not the bit that we cut out? Because the mics weren't working. Oh, I can't remember. We got fined for surrounding the referee at Dover away, didn't we?
Yes.
Obviously, we surrounded the referee because one of our players got headbutted. But anyway, we've got fine. And they've got Gateshead are going there tomorrow, aren't they?
Yeah.
And obviously all this Snowmageddon and all this talk and everything like that, they're getting a train. I think they're getting a new 750 or something from Newcastle down to King's Cross. They're then going St Pancras to Dover on the fast train. Tomorrow morning.
Blooming hell. That's it.
But their general manager just left, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. Mike
there's all
Paulson.
Sorts of talk about the ownership and stuff up there. But
they took over at the start of the season, didn't they? And
anyway, sorry. Yeah. Back to us. We were off to Hartlepool after Maidstone, aren't we?
Mm, we are indeed, yeah. So obviously a place last season.
I think it's going to be an overnight.
Yeah, it looks like it might be.
We want to make sure that every single game we sit down with Neil Smith and the management team on how best to prepare our players. And the East Coast hasn't really been kind to us previously. The West Coast is where we get the excellent service with Virgin, but it's run by
East Coast
GNER
is
sort of
difficult. LNER, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it now. It's just taken over from Virgin.
Privatisation of the railway hasn't worked. Don't get me started.
And so we went out there last year. We went by train, and then we had our coach meet up, play the game, and then bring us back down.
Oh, midweek.
And I went up and I flew solo on the commentary, I can barely talk.
Oh, apologies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so it's for 90 minutes, and that was a 2-1.
You're missing Barrow, aren't you? Who's on Barrow, Jews? Are you and me, Matt?
I think it is, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
laughing, ain't
yeah. Yeah.
Hey!
Well, obviously, we would have had Harrogate away as well in that month. That would have been tomorrow, obviously, before the game got rearranged. So what a month that would have been had we had the game tomorrow.
Yeah, it's... Obviously...
Question of the week. Well, the question of the week is we've been teasing you with it. And it's going to be, what are you doing tomorrow?
How do you think of that? How did you think of that?
What are you doing this weekend without football? I think we've asked it before when we've had another game postponed.
So what are you all doing, Matt? What are you doing?
I'm doing soccer school in the morning, being the stalwart that I am, and then I'm off to
for those listening. He doesn't coach. Don't worry, he's only doing the signing.
I don't coach football. I coach other
stuff.
But let's not get into
fantastic
that.
Professional coaches.
I coach
running,
people on life.
Running the soccer school tomorrow. Obviously, on that note, big shout out 200 participants last week, the first ever time, you know, in all the years that we've been running it and everything we tried to achieve, 200 boys and girls here last Saturday. Absolutely
incredible.
Fantastic.
And that's helped by our new girls' soccer school, which is going very, very well, thanks to Max Properties and the National League Trust for supporting that.
And for me, I think I'm going to be in and around the soccer school tomorrow, but also I'm going to be at the...
I'm not going to help you, but I'm going to be around.
And tomorrow I'm going to be at the Cray game. Cray are playing Herne Bay, and I thought, what better place to spend my weekend than Hayes Lane?
So they're two riveting answers. For those listening and want to fill us in with what they're up to on Saturday, Matt, how can they get in touch?
They can get in touch by tweeting us at Bromley FC using the hashtag Ravens Weekly, or on the Facebook post, or emailing us podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk.
Fantastic. A big thank you to everybody who's tuned in, listened and downloaded this week's episode. Obviously no game at the weekend, so appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. I think we managed to cover a lot despite that.
Yeah, we have, haven't we? It's been a good one.
Next week's going to be the struggle when we ain't got a game to review. So.
We're going to review your weekend, won't we?
Yeah. Review the answers and what everyone's done at the weekend. Maybe we can get people to send in their reviews of their weekends, you know, getting creative here.
We're going to need it at this rate. But anyway, a big thank you again to everybody who's listened, and we'll be back again this time next week.
And thank you once again to Cranash Developments. And that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.